RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So yesterday morning here at RCR, we had Federated Farmers Southland President Jason Herrick on to tell us why Federated Farmers are arguing that Fish and Game should ditch their role. I think his term was stick to their knitting as environmental advocates. Yeah, and stick to the knitting, in quotes. That's what he said. So we thought we'd talk more about this with Jody Brunning, who is sociologist and trustee of Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility. She's done a lot of work criticizing the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management. She wrote a paper back in 2019, Aotearoa New Zealand Policy Proposals on Healthy Waterways, Are They Fit for Purpose? She's had a long interest in this topic. Jody, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Morning, Paul. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Okay, stick to their knitting. As I understood it, and I have hardly any knowledge because I'm not a hunter and fisher. Maybe I'll end up being, just for survival purposes, but at the moment, not. So stick to the knitting. I understood the Fish and Game were really just there to make sure the fish stocks were up and that people bought licenses to fish in areas that legally they can, and that there is facilitation of access in many cases to get to those spots, and usually through farms. So that was what I understood their role was, but I could be missing something.
Well, I had a look on their website today, and Fish and Game seem very sort of uninterested generally in what I would consider are toxic emissions that might harm vertebrates and invertebrates in our fresh water. And so this seems like a little bit of an anomaly, and I couldn't see with a quick glance on their site any reporting of the Court of Appeal decision. It seems to have been sort of done sort of on the side, but I could be incorrect here. We can talk more about what I've found with our research into the national policy framework and how that works.
Yeah, so it seems to be around degrading rivers or water, I guess you call them sources. The Environment Court concluded that the rules in the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan were not sufficiently robust to prevent continued degradation of rivers by diffuse discharges. That's the incidental stuff, right?
So, diffuse is, it's another word is creasive. It's all the lots of little things that end up going into the water, something that goes down your drain, something that goes, you know, from the edge of your property. And it's not sort of what's called source point emissions. And it can also come from an emission from a factory, I believe, although we should be getting consents for factories, but I'm not sure how that works so much. And so what we see, though, in New Zealand is there is a language, and this relates to the national policy framework, around E. coli, nitrogen, phosphorus and nitrates. So that has to be screened for by regional councils. And for about 10 to 15 years, the Ministry for the Environment have left completely outside the chemicals, the synthetic chemical pollutants and contaminants that come out of urban waste streams or that come from an industrial factory or that comes out of horticulture. And it seems like it is quite easy to pick on farmers for their urine. And I'm not saying I think we should be heavily regulating, for example, we shouldn't be having concentrated animal feeding operations, what's called CAFOs. And I think there can be limits on livestock per acre. And if the government was really serious on this, they would be actually supporting conversions to organic dairy farming because that has about half the
right
stocking capacity.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this is interesting. So I sort of almost feel like Fish and Game are a little bit of a someone's in there that really wants to deal with this, but it feels to me from what Zane was sort of saying in a Farmers Weekly interview a couple of weeks ago that they sort of didn't think it would end up being like this. I could be misquoting, but what it is okay for Environment Southland to pursue farmers for urine, but we won't see, you know, any of the regional councils pursuing pesticides or looking at the contaminants as runoff from forestry, for example, the pesticides used in forestry. We won't see the regional councils looking at the bulk emissions coming out of wastewater, which can include not only industrial, but all the cleaning chemicals used by the public and by industry and by the pharmaceutical contamination. Then, of course, we've got our favourite fluoride, which, of course, doesn't even require a fluoride consent. And in 40 years, the New Zealand government has never, ever monitored fluoride emissions.
Yeah, it's hardly consistent, is it?
So it's a little bit misleading if they turn around and say, well, if that so what I find a little bit critical, and hey, I'm just declaring I do have two brothers-in-law who are both farmers, but right. I also would like to declare that people go and look at the paper that the Soil and Health Association of New Zealand and Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility released in 2019. It's called Aotearoa New Zealand Policy Proposals on Healthy Waterways. Are they fit for purpose? And I would like so I feel like I've got a reasonable sort of foot in both, yeah, both camps, if I could say that. But it is really okay. It's politically okay to go after farmers for urine. It is not politically okay to say, hey, that triazine class that is in three different formats in your freshwater or your groundwater that's a runoff from a mixture of roadside spraying and forestry. It's not
what
okay
about that?
To look at that. So they're being selective. And so what this ends up happening is the Environment Court and the Court of Appeal, the judges, my concern is that the judges deflect to only think that the only thing that will be causing that degradation
is that one thing,
is the E. coli or the nitrogen or the phosphorus or the nitrates. This is the problem. So we have no mechanisms. Regional councils in New Zealand have no mechanisms whatsoever. If an entire water body is showing signs of pollution, atrophy, particularly if the sediment is dead, there is no mechanism in policy in New Zealand to assess the mixture of contaminant chemicals and heavy, what's also called trace metals, in that water. It's absolutely disgusting. And when the Soil and Health Association and the PSGR came together in 2019, we had 20 to 30 organisations signing up. We couldn't get a single mainstream media outlet to cover this.
Why am I not surprised? Zane Moss, who you mentioned, who is the manager at Fish and Game, he stated that based on the evidence, the court concluded that rivers were significantly degraded by diffuse charges and that the rules in the proposed plan were not robust enough to prevent continued degradation. But it misses out all those other things that you talked about. So this really, focusing just on a few things which are low-hanging fruit, really, aren't they, in this debate, really doesn't mean anything more than trying to virtue signal or signal something. What game do you think Fish and Game are playing?
Well, I think if they were playing a game that was looking at toxic agrochemicals or toxic industrial chemicals, they might not get as far as if they're just doing this to farmers. And but there is a small chance they've been a pawn. There's a small chance they've sort of done this thinking, oh, that's great. And then the courts have run with it knowing that it sets a precedent. And the Ministry for the Environment's not going to be step in because the national policy framework is absolutely biased to excluding environmental chemicals. And then the newer versions of the RMA, apparently, when I was looking at the Natural and Built Environments Bill, and we've got a paper on that on the PSGR website, is that noise pollution could be a thing. What are the other forms of pollution that are not environmental chemicals? So
don't jump up and down about 1080. I don't see them like flipping their lid over that. You're putting that right directly into everything, and that's all right.
Yeah, And this is consistent with the New Zealand government. And so when we were writing about that in 2019, we said this has been a policy position for at least 9 years. So it's now 2024.
Okay, the effect on farmers. So the Fish and Game, Forest and Bird won the court case against Environment Southland, and that's over the meaning of Section 70, Resource Management Act. All right, this is the big thing for farmers. It could require more than 3,000 Southland farmers to apply for resource consent for diffuse discharges, and they'll need a resource consent to farm, basically, is what that means. And it also could have implications for farmers right across the country, not just Southland. So
absolutely,
this is just loading things upon things all the time. For what?
Yeah. So we've had 3 years of high interest rates. We've had FERT prices going through the roof. And I'm not saying that excess fertilizer is good, but what we are also seeing in a time of climate change is we are not seeing the government put a single cent into drought, into rotations that are drought tolerant, into looking at species and breeds that will endure drought. All of the funding for science research has got to be attached in climate change to some sort of a patent or biotechnology or something like that. So farmers are being left high and dry. Farmers could also be shifting to different stocking rates, different money, economic financing. But we've defunded scientific research that is public good scientific research for farmers. And so then we don't have that information flow between scientists and farmers. And the silence of the New Zealand EPA over this same 15-year period to never consider complex emissions, the mixtures of chemicals, what's happening from urban waste and industrial waste, it's been disgusting. I actually think Freeth should resign. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
And then you could have farmers in the position where they have to go to Fish and Game sort of cap in hand, hoping that they can get, or they won't have any resource consent should it come along opposed. So there's a hell of a lot of power there.
Well, I think there'll be a way of appealing this. I do believe. I think there's a lot of very smart farmers out there that understand. Well,
it's being appealed at the moment.
How ridiculous this is. It is ridiculous. I do think farmers need, we need to be bringing in more scientific research to support, I don't like using the word sustainable, but to support, because it's been overused, to support really cool agroecological practices that can change how they are.
That actually work, Jody?
Yeah, including, integrated pest management to reduce, the chemical runoff from pesticides, because Hort has 10 times more chemical emissions than your average livestock farmer. Livestock farmers...
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
That's an Australian study showed that. Yeah. And the livestock farmers, there is the urine inverted commas problem. But if you look at hill country, you can run goats on hill country. We could have the government looking at, let's get goat milk and sheep milk and goat and sheep dairy for hill country, and we could look at changing that profile. So there's opportunities that could happen, and like I said, if they were to fund organic conversions to organic, we would have the stocking rates tomorrow.
Well, maybe that's what agriculture needs to move to kind of dodge all this and put themselves in a stronger, more protected position from picked off all the time,
But what we see is, and we've seen this in Holland with the Dutch farmers, we've seen this in America, they will not support the farmers and then they'll nail them with nasty rules and regulations. But they could be getting science and scientific research outside of the Ministry for Business, Innovation and Employment. They could get scientific research being independent. We could see a lot more funding going to that to support farmers, and then get that feedback loop. You know, it's part of one of the things I get so frustrated about this, but it's sort of like the Foundation for Arable Research turning around and going, oh, we didn't know that, we thought there'd be glyphosate resistance on 5% of farms, it's on 50% of farms. No, because hello. you can't touch, you know, the glyphosate is the golden child. So you can't criticize it. So you don't put in place either technologies, the robotics, the chemical free weeding practices. Excuse me. So we're slow because we're too scared to let scientific research get outside of the grasp of the Ministry for Business and Innovation and Employment. And Judith Collins, who's the minister for that.
Well, we know pretty well where she's coming from. All right, so stick to the knitting. Probably come back to where we started. Don't be some kind of pawn in a bigger game if you want to lose your innocence and why you were set up in the first place, right? And that's to grant the licenses and...
Yeah, I mean, there's no monitoring of pollutants by regional councils or by the EPA, and then they turn around and jump on farmers. Farmers have $54 billion worth of exports.
Careful, because if I was a farmer, I'd be thinking, well, screw you. All right, here we are. You're not out there in any weather, do you? You get in your car and go to wherever and have your nice day's work and your coffee and your muffin during the day.
Yeah.
Screw you, you know. Where do you think you get your food from? That's what I'd be thinking right now. I'd be a bit mad about it, actually.
And my impression is probably that the farmers that are going to overstock and that they are going to push their farms the hardest have the worst debt. So it's how do we manage debt? How do we support farms? How do we make sure farms are handed down intergenerationally to Kiwis and not sold off to foreign entities? That's something I'm passionate about.
But you can do that sort of monitoring without doing the equivalent to a resource consent just for having a farm.
Oh, exactly.
They might have been there 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Jody, thanks for coming on. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.